Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe, and for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis that specialize in a plethora of art forms. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy novels at jvhilliard.com, or you can follow me at J.V. Hilliard Books on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me as just J.V. Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. I want to thank our sponsor tonight, Altered Reality Magazine. That's alteredrealitymag.com. And as we reach our witching hour, let me begin to cast my message spell and take control of the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. And for you D&D nerds like me out there, the duration of my magic is about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today, we're chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe, Lexi Kingston. Lexi, tell everybody about yourself and what you'd like to write.
Hi, thank you for having me. I love to write anything like romantic fiction. I write in both contemporary romance as well as paranormal vampire romance, which is what my latest release was. I've been writing since I was about 16 years old. I took 6 semesters of creative writing classes when I was in high school, and I just knew that it was something that I really wanted to do. And so I started researching the publishing industry, and I've been published for 3 years now, and I have my 8th book coming out in March.
You know, that's I'm so jealous. I had a similar track and went way off track. You know, when I was in high school, I took creative writing classes. I loved my English classes. I loved to read. I worked at a bookstore. I worked at a library. Like, those are the kind of things I'd like to do. And then life took over, and I decided to go in a different direction professionally. You hit it right out of the gate. You knew exactly what you wanted to do, and you jumped in feet first. And I want to say, first of all, congratulations on that. But let's talk a little bit about your motivation. So you mentioned before you've got a what you describe as a paranormal vampire romance. Now, when I hear that, I think a lot of people think the same thing. We're thinking Twilight. Is that where you've got the motivation and the inspiration for the series from, or are we talking about something completely different?
My books are very, very different. Now, I will say I loved Twilight growing up. I've never read the books, but that is on my bucket list of something to do. But my books are a little bit more fantasy than that. They're surrounding a character that moves to London after a tragedy happens in her life, and she just starts having these crazy dreams, these nightmares, and wakes up with real injuries from them. And it's all connected to this family of vampires that live in this town that also knew her ancestor. So it's very interconnected, very, very different from Twilight. These vampires can't act as they should. They can't compel, which means unless they want to kill their meal, they can't actually feed on humans if they want their existence to remain secret. So there's a lot that goes into them, but I definitely was inspired by other vampire fiction, whether through books or TV shows growing up. It was something that I've always loved. So that's why I wanted to take that direction. And I didn't want to do it until I was sure that I could do it in the right way, if that makes sense.
I sure do. You know, I've always wanted to write a vampire novel. I mean, if you talk to my friends and my family, they'll tell you, oh, my God, shut up. That's all you talk about is how you write. And I don't even write it. Like, I literally write fantasy. Now, because I'm a vampire fan, my favorite novel of all time is Dracula. And what I've done is spin a little bit of that gothic and a little bit of that darkness into my fantasy novels. And it sounds to me like you've got a little Jonathan Harker in your main character where things happen, you know, and the dreams and the sequences that he had in Castle Dracula are kind of happening to her in this her time in London with just a different type of vampire, which is pretty cool. But you said it before, you kind of hinted at it, and I'm gonna push you on this one a little bit. I know every author has a favorite character. I mean, who's your favorite character in your Nightfall series, and why is it?
Oh, that is a tough question. I
would too bad.
Say, oh my gosh, why are you doing this to me? Honestly, I would probably say my main character, Aspen, because she goes through a lot in the first book and throughout the entire series, like not just with the supernatural, but in her life before she was introduced to this new world and becomes a vampire. So I would say her for that reason. And also, she's just a very strong character. She knows what she wants. She knows what she believes in, and she's not willing to bend her morals no matter how much pressure outside forces put on her, especially considering the darkness that often comes with living in a world with vampires and the gore and all of those things.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Some of my stuff is generated from my old Dungeons & Dragons characters, if that's not geeky enough. But, like, you know, and everybody has a favorite. So I knew you had one. But did you – and I think authors are very observant people by nature. And have you ever found inspiration for any of your characters, Aspen included, from someone you know? Now, you don't have to say who they are if that would embarrass them or you don't want to. But if you have – you know, what made those real life people so intriguing enough to memorialize in your novels?
I actually haven't used inspiration from anyone that I've known. It was something specific to me, actually. Yeah, because I know a lot of authors do that, but I was very adamant when I started writing that I wanted to create someone from thin air. So that's what I did. And ironically, when I published my very first book, a lot of people thought that I did pull things from my personal life or that the character reminded them of me. And it was funny because I tried to do the exact opposite of that. But, yeah.
Well, sometimes that happens. You can't get away from it because your characters are all coming out of your head anyway, right? So, like, it's okay there's a little bit of you baked into every one of them. But like you said, you have to make it just one morsel, right? Like one chocolate chip in the whole cookie, right? So I get where you're going with that. But, you know, so you write more than just paranormal vampire romance, right? You have other work. Tell us a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, I published, my first book actually ever published was a contemporary romance book, and it follows a boy band and a small town family throughout each book. So each one is written from a different character's point of view, but the same characters in the universe. And that's something that I love to do, but I like to switch it up with paranormal just to keep things interesting. Because I'm very much a mood reader. I don't like reading in the same genre more than three books in a row. So I'm the same way when I write. I like to switch things up. But, yeah, that series, it's very, very different. It's sweet, heartwarming, totally not a vampire romance series.
Yeah, you could tell by the covers. The covers of your vampire series are, like, threatening. You know, they look exactly like they're supposed to look, right? Like, scary, but everybody's hot on the cover. So you're like, all right. So, you know where this, it's total, some sort of fantasy romance. You get it. The others are really, like, straight-up romance covers. And, like, even though I haven't delved into them yet, you know, I find, you know, obviously you have to, there's got to be a wall between the two genres, which begs my next question. As someone who writes, and now that I know that you read in different genres, do you have a preference in one genre over the other? Do you like the paranormal vampire stuff, or do you like writing more of the contemporary romance stuff? And if so, why? Just tell me which one's your favorite and why you like it.
I would say I like writing the paranormal vampire romance more, just because there's so much more to them. And not that there isn't to contemporary romance books, but just in the sense that you can really delve into a plot line and there's so many moving pieces that you have to keep straight. But that being said, it's also a bit of a headache when you're trying to keep track of all those things. And I am not someone who plots my books. I just sit down and completely go with the flow.
Boy.
I write. Yeah. The characters take control. Even when I try to plan something out, I usually don't end up going through with it. So, but yeah, I would definitely say I like writing paranormal more.
See, I am the opposite. I am a total plotter, planner. If you told me to sit down and pants or something, I couldn't do it. And I can use that word because most of our listeners are readers and other authors, right? Just by the basis of what we do here, other creatives, I should say. We have artists that listen and people that participate in other forms of, you know, creative outlets. But that's who we're – so they know what pantser is. So for those of you who don't know what pantser is someone who writes by the seat of their pants, hence a quote-unquote pantser, hence a quote unquote Lexi Kingston. So it sounds like, and I'm just on the opposite side of that. I would freeze up. Like, I have to know, I have to see the direction where I'm writing, know how I'm getting there. And I envy those of you that can do it your way. That's just, I've tried and I can't get out of neutral when I do. But so, you know, it's funny because when you said before that you read out a genre, you're kind of streaky, you'll hit something for two or three books and then you've got to read something else. And now that you've written in these two, and have you ever considered writing in an entirely different genre? And if you have, what would that be? Have you stepped out of romance?
See, I don't know if I could step out of romance. That my heart and soul is entwined with romance in my book.
So you're going to do like historical romance next or something like that?
Potentially. I think a lot about romantic suspense and going more toward a murder mystery direction. Ooh. I think that would be really intriguing.
Do you find that everybody takes this in a different direction. My publisher would never, ever, 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 ever let me I can't write out a genre, right? Because that's what they do. It's almost like trying to find a Stephen King in the romance section, right? It's like, it's kind of weird. Like, what? How did this book land over here? But what you're doing, you can't, because there is the fantasy romance aspect, the paranormal romance aspect, shape-shifting romance aspect. You've got the contemporary stuff. You've got, the historical romance stuff that we see in Outlander and things like that people really enjoy that have a little bit of fantasy in there as well. But you would stick to the fantasy then. You might wander into a different subgenre, and that's about it?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would say that. I like where I am right now. I'm content with what I'm writing, and I also don't want to make things too confusing for my readers either by branching out too much, just because then they won't know what to expect from me every time I publish a book.
Yeah, and that's what my publisher beats me over the head with, too. She's like, no, this, you want branding, stick with it. So, by the way, just because we're on the subject, and this is a little bit out of my line of typical questioning, I know that in this day and age, lots of people love to do indie publishing. Others, enjoy the opportunity to publish traditionally. I'm traditionally published. When the choice came for you to go indie or traditional, why did you choose the way that you went?
I chose indie after a lot of research. I honestly researched for 2 years just different traditional publishing houses and self-publishing platforms. And in the end, it was mostly about creative control. I mean, I've heard horror stories from both sides about, traditional publishers trying to take too much of your creative freedom out of your book, and then indie publishers who just can't seem to get the marketing right to push their books the way they need to be pushed because we don't have as many resources. But I think the industry's come a long way in terms of that with self-publishing. And I really like what I'm doing, and I also like doing it all myself, which makes it difficult, but it's a learning curve, and I like learning new things.
That's cool, and I know a lot of our listeners are indies, and they've gone in that direction too. I know a lot of successful indies, you being one of them, of course. And, I think that there's definitely, a burgeoning marketplace. I mean, Amazon has made that, available to many, where the traditional marketplace and traditional publishing has had to change to combat that. In a way that just wasn't available to folks 20 years ago, right? I think with the advent of the Amazon system and the print on demand and everything that happens there, a lot of people have jumped in. And as long as you do it the right way, you can get the same kind of exposure. And in these days, usually publishers aren't publicists anyway. If you're with a larger firm, and when you're starting out, you're never with a larger firm. You're going to be on your own, right? So it doesn't matter traditionally published or indie published. So I'm glad you explained why you made that choice, because I think that's one of the questions I get a lot from people that listen. What should they do? Why are people do this? I always like to ask that question, and thanks very much for answering that honestly. But I'm going to pivot a little bit on you, because I did a little research on you, also known as internet stalking. And what I've found was a really cool concept on your website. You have playlists for different songs. Tell our listeners about those playlists and why you made them public.
Music is such a big part of my life. It always, always has been. And when I write characters, I find myself either listening to music while I write, or I'll be listening to a song after a book's finished, and I just see the characters in my head. It's like it's about them, even though it was written about them. And so I really wanted to create that experience for people that like music as much as I do. So I decided to compile the best songs that I thought, you know, embodied the story and each individual character, and as well as like the songs that I listen to while I write. Because sometimes I listen to music when I'm writing, but other times I need complete silence. So I like to have a list of songs for each book that sort of bring me back to that place. So anytime I'm struggling or I feel a little bit of writer's block coming on, I just sit down, I put that same playlist on for those same characters, and it sort of brings back the headspace I was in when I started writing. And like I said, I just really want people to connect with my characters enough to listen to those songs and think like, wow, these really do represent the characters that she tried to create.
You know, that's funny because you and I have a very similar process. I have the same kind of playlist. I listen to them. Maybe mine's a little different. Like some of mine, when I'm writing a battle scene, I'm listening to something different than I am when I'm writing a romance scene. Right. So,
yeah.
Clearly those that type of music is going to change for part of that. But I have certain songs that in my head represent certain characters. And I might steal this idea and put it on my website. Or, excuse me, I don't mean steal. I mean find inspiration in it and do the same thing for my website. And I'm not going to give you any credit for it, I swear. So it'll be my idea alone. But honestly, fantastic. I love that concept because I do it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many, many, many authors and other creators do the same thing, whether you're a painter, whether you're a videographer, whether you're a cinematographer, there's going to be stuff like that that gets you motivated and gets the juices pumping. So the other thing I noticed that I've got to ask about that I saw on your website is you have a really cool tagline, Romance for Every Reader. Where did that come from? Because that is perfect. Like if I were in my marketing 101 class, the professor would have been screaming at me saying, yes, yes, yes. Where'd you come up with that?
That took me forever to come up with. I had taken a lot of online classes just about branding. And I mean, obviously, I was a marketing major in college, if you didn't know that.
I did not.
So that helped a lot, too. And I obviously want to write in different genres. And my books are also for people of most ages. I wanted to create books that anybody could read at any age, any preference, and everything that I write comes down to one thing in the end, and that is the relationship between the characters, whether that is romance, family drama, friendship, and it just all ties together. So I thought that the best way to embody that would just be romance for every reader.
Man, is that a great tagline. Just fantastic. Mine might be dark fantasy for every reader. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. It doesn't have the same kind of ring. Doesn't have the same kind of ring to it. So, well, you mentioned before why you chose indie authors, and many folks listening tonight are indies. As an indie author, what was the best money you've ever spent as a writer? Like, what had the most impact? What was the thing that had the most value to you? I think that's, if you could impart a nugget of wisdom to those that are listening and say, this is what I spent money on and I've had, 10X on it, or this tool helped me get over A, B, and C. For you, what was the best money that you've spent? And tell our other indie author listeners what that was so they can replicate the same thing.
I would say, man, I have spent a lot of money on a lot of different things over the years that worked, some didn't. And I would say maybe Book Funnel, because I started out not knowing how to gain a following at all. I published my book. It was originally in Kindle Unlimited, and that can only get you so far when you don't have a fan base or no idea what you're doing whatsoever, because despite how much research I did, I was still completely at a disadvantage doing this on my own.
Right,
and
yeah.
Yeah, in BookFunnel, they had a subscription at the time where you could upload a sample of your book and join promos with other authors. And starting out, that really helped me because you can just download them for free. Just you could put your whole book out there, but I only did samples. And then at the end, you have a little call to action telling the people to buy your book, and it gets you exposure to different readers. It's nothing major, but it was something that, you know, helped me build my email list. And then people who joined got to see every new update I had. So if they enjoyed that sample and they didn't buy the book, but then they keep getting my emails for it, and they might be persuaded to buy it in the future if they didn't. So I would say that was probably one of my better investments at the time. Like I said, I have, you know, there's a lot of trial and error with self-publishing because one thing that works for some authors doesn't always work for everybody.
Would you ever consider stepping over the line and going traditional, or you just like what you're doing? Like you said, that quality control, that creative license, everything you've got, you're just running at it and just really enjoy being indie? Or, you know, could someone lure you over to the dark side?
I think someone could probably lure me over to the dark side. I wouldn't say right this second, but I'm not saying no. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
So I'm not even going to ask who your Darth Vader is, who that big publishing house could be. You know, Lexi, feel the power of the dark side. We'll stay away from that for now. But I just figured, you know, some folks just enjoy the independence of it, you know, and others, depending, you know, might want to consider it and try it out. So do you have authors from which you've drawn inspiration? Are there other people out there that you've just read and every time their book comes out that you go and buy it or pre-order it and you're at your Barnes & Noble picking it up that day, or, Amazon's dropping it off the day that it's supposed to be released, or any of those kind of things? Do you have authors like that, or don't you?
I do. I wouldn't say like every single release I have to have it immediately, but I always loved Jennifer Shaw Wolf. I read her book, the first one, I was in middle school, so I've been a longtime fan, but it was called Dead Girls Don't Lie, and I have never forgotten that book. It was one of the best that, at the time at least, I thought that I'd ever read, and so I've bought every one of her books since. And I'm also a big fan of Elle Kennedy. I love her romance books, specifically the Briar U series.
This might come a little bit out of left field, but, you know, since we're talking about authors and things like that too, when you have a new idea that jumps out at you and you're still working on your same book, you know, do you ever chase that down? Or do you just kind of take notes and stick it away and try to get it out of your head? This has happened to me too, where it's like, I've had this great idea and you're like, oh, but I got to finish this book before I can get into that, or I got to finish the series before I get into that. But you now know the direction you're going. Have you ever had a moment like that? And, you know, did you finish your current project first, or did you chase down that rabbit hole and go get that new thing that was inspiring you?
I have more moments than I would care to admit. And I always stick the idea away, and I finish my current project, and it's so hard to divert your focus to a new idea when you know you have something a lot bigger and a lot more developed to finish. But I usually just, you know, stick a note aside, and sometimes I go back to them, sometimes I don't. But it is one of the most difficult challenges I think I face as a writer, is trying to decide whether a new idea is worth pursuing before I finish a current one, or if I should just stay the path, finish what I'm doing, and then hopefully I still like the idea in a year from now when I'm done.
Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you, that's the kind of freedom that an indie author enjoys. You can make those decisions. Me, I would get the beat down, where it's like, no, breach a contract, buddy. Keep writing. You know, so it's like, you know, like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I could see. Well, first of all, I wish I could have the same level of independence many times. Like, it's like, oh, I got this great idea, but it's like literally four books from now, you know, but it's the one I want to work on today. And I'll spew about it to my writers groups, and people look at me like, well, you've got to write it. We can feel your passion. You got to do this. I'm like, yeah, but I can't. I got to finish this other epic fantasy book, you know, that's 500 pages long. So like, I feel your pain on that too. So I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way, but I have to say this, we're coming to the end of our time. And as we do this every show, I like to have a lightning round with my guests, just asking some quirky questions, getting one-word answers, one-sentence answers. But if you throw a wrench into my plans, I might stop, hit the break, and ask you to go into a little bit more detail as to why you've answered it the way you did. But I've got a couple of questions here I'm going to throw at you. So, Lexi Kingston, are you ready for the lightning round?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay, so the first one, I'm going to start off a little bit of a softball. You have one song from your playlist right now that motivates you and gets you the creative juices flowing. Which one is it?
Walk That Easy by Chase Rice.
Hey, that wasn't too bad, right? I was a little softball, get you a little revved up. All right, next one is you walk in the doors of a magical library, and to your surprise, the stacks are empty except for one single book. And when you walk over to that book, you know in the back of your head that whatever you think of, that book's going to be, but it's the only book that you'll be able to read in that library forever. What book would that be? And you can't name one of yours. That's the rule.
I won't.
All right.
Hush, Hush by Becca Fitzpatrick.
Why?
Yeah. Oh,
why would
love
you
that
choose
book.
That one? How many times have you
book.
Read it? When an author says, I love that book, that means they've read it more than once. So how many times have you read it? And be honest.
Be honest? I think I only read it once. I don't typically read my books twice. I know.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I don't believe that for a second. Your favorite book is one you read once? I can't buy that. Anyway, we'll pass on that one. We'll let you get by. We'll be nice on your first interview here. So if you could shape-shift into a different creature, now I know you write about paranormal and you write about vampires, but if you could shape-shift into a vampire or something else that was a paranormal creature, what would it be?
A werewolf. I think that's interesting because it's opposite of what I write.
No, that's in complete and the two fan bases of both hate the other one with a passion. It's like the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? It's like you can't have one. Yeah. They can't coexist in the same novels, except for in Twilight, I guess. And again, they were at odds there, right? So I get it. So, look, all right, well, now I'm going to throw this one. I have to throw this one out at you. So you said you like them. Were you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Oh, I was Team Edward all the way.
Oh, of course, because of the vampires, right? Of course.
Yep.
All right. For the record, my wife was Team Jacob because he had his shirt off all the time. So I get it. But
yeah,
anyway,
I can't blame her.
I don't blame her either. It's okay. It's a losing cause. So, but look, we're coming to the end of my message spell here, and I can feel the magic fading from my eyes. But before it leaves me, I want to thank you again, Lexi Kingston, for coming on the show. And for allowing me to conjure you into the realm, if it's only for a short time. But before you go, tell everybody else where they can find you and how they can buy your books.
Yeah, you can buy my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just about any ebook platform. And you can also find me on my website, lkingstonbooks.com. There are links to my social media pages on there. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Goodreads, BookBub, just about everything. And you can also just search Lexi Kingston, and I should pop right up.
Yeah, Lexi, again, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And for those of you that follow the show, I'll also be posting those. You could find them on my social media accounts tomorrow and on the website. Thanks again to Altered Reality Magazine for sponsoring the Realm this evening. And Lexi, thanks for coming on the show. And I know that you've got a new book coming out early next year, right? Give it 30 seconds to pump it up before I have to kick you off the air.
Yep, I have a new book coming March 27th. It's the final book in my paranormal series, so I'm very excited for it.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to tell you this. I'll admit it. I read Twilight. I read paranormal romance. That's something I've always done. Anything that has a vampire in it, I just devour it. So I've made a promise to read through your book. So by the time I'm done, I'll be ready for book number 4. So thanks again, Lexi. Appreciate you having on. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Thanks again, Lexi.